on the phone with Matt. Hello. Hi. How are you? I'm good. How are you? I just asked that. Yeah. I'm actually really good. Today is a good day. I'm actually recording this on Monday, so today is a good day. I'm hoping tomorrow will be equally as good, which will be the day that this comes out. So I hope everybody has a good Tuesday. Did you watch the football, huh? Did you? Yeah, I had a terrible terrible time watching football. I watched the Battle of Ohio. I'm a Cincinnati Bengals fan. I'm also a fan of the Browns. But I'm from Cincinnati, so naturally my allegiance lies there. But they usually have a good game. No matter what each team is doing that year, no matter what they play like normally, usually they play fantastic against each other. It's usually a badass brawl through the whole game. And it's usually, like, I remember a couple of shootouts we had with them where it was, like, ridiculous, the score. Yeah, I can't remember if it was Carson Palmer playing against the Browns or I think it was Carson Palmer. And I can't remember who the quarterback was for the Browns at that time, but it was, like, the final score was, like, 49-47 or some shit. It was crazy. That didn't happen Sunday. No, it was sad. It was pitiful. The Bengals did not show up. They didn't. It was pathetic. And they were playing at home. They were playing at home. And the hometown crowd wasn't there. It was like the whole damn place was full of Cleveland fans. If anything happened good for the Bengals, which was rare in that game, there was like no applause. There was no cheering. I remember watching the one touchdown and I was like, oh, thank God they fucking scored. And there was like four people in the stands cheering. And one of them was a popcorn vendor. Yeah. The fucking Browns, man, everything they did, it was like, well, the place erupted. It was ridiculous. I'm happy for the Browns, though, man. I hope they do something good. I hope they continue this trajectory this season. I would love to see the Browns in the playoffs. I'd love to see the Browns in the Super Bowl. I think that would be awesome. Absolutely awesome. They deserve it. They've gone far too long without it. On the flip side, we deserve it too. We've gone far too fucking long without it. 89, 90, I think that season. Oh my God. It's been 30 years. 30 years since we've been to the Super Bowl. And we lost then too. How could you not lose to Joe Montana and Jerry Rice? Oh my God, what a game. Boomer and the boys though, man, they showed up. They put on a hell of a show against, you know, the legacy team of the San Francisco 49ers back then. You couldn't stop them. Those guys were outrageously good. And then Joe Montana said, well, I guess I'm going to retire. And Steve Young came in and continued the legacy. Oh, my God. What a team. Just to be in the big game with them was, you know, that was awesome. We were good enough to play against them. And we actually made a game out of it, too. Yeah. You know, but I mean, you just cannot go against, no matter who you are, no matter who you were back then, you couldn't go against Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. That combination was deadly. Absolutely deadly. There may be another quarterback wide receiver combo in the NFL historically up until now that did better, put up better numbers. I'm not sure. I don't know those stats. But those two were pretty much unstoppable. They were like, they're legends now because of it. They were just epic. So the Bengals, yeah, they, you know, and it's fucking funny because I'm a Cincinnati fan. I know how we are from year to year, season to season. And we have this trait where we like to get a lead and then blow it by playing it safe far too early in the game. We have lost so many games because of that tactic, and I'm not sure why we still do it. So at the beginning of this season, I saw the Bengals do that, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You're still doing this? So it's got to be Brown, the owner, who tells his coaches, I want you to play it safe. So I was a little disappointed. You know, these last two seasons with Zach Taylor as the coach, they haven't been that great. And just like with Marvin Lewis, all of our weapons were top-notch. We just, the coaching was bad. In the NFL, you have to be ruthless. You have to go for the kill, the jugular. You know, you can't fucking play it safe. There's a saying, any given Sunday, anything can happen, any game. The Jets, the hapless Jets, beat the Bengals last week. They were 1-5, I believe. They had won one game prior to that. The game before that, the Bengals played the Ravens, who are a great team, and destroyed the shit out of them. The Bengals played like they should play every single game. But they didn't, because that's another trait of the Bengals. They like play to their opponents. They don't play the same way every game. Now, if they beat the Ravens that bad, they should have had no issue playing any other team for the rest of the year. If they continue to play that way, they should have played that way in every game, and they would have no issue beating anybody. They would be Super Bowl champions this year. But they played against the Ravens, who were good, and they played good. Then they followed it up playing the Jets, who were bad, so they played bad. And the Jets beat them. It was disgusting, because the Bengals are better than that. And the Jets put on a good show, but the Bengals are better than that. They should have won. You know, it wasn't like they lost a good game. They totally lost that. The Jets didn't really win. I mean, they played a good game. Like I said, they had several turnovers. And a couple of the interceptions weren't Burrow's fault. But, oh my God. Just absolutely terrible. And they even said in the post game, we didn't practice like we should have. We kind of just swept this under the rug and said, this will be a cakewalk. And then they beat us. We should have practiced better. We should have practiced harder. So what do they do for this game against the Browns? It's like they didn't even think about football from the Jets to Sunday against the Browns. It's like they didn't even think about football. You know, it's like they went out to the store and somebody said, hey, don't you play for the... And they were like, I'm not answering those questions right now, sir. Sir, back away from my shopping cart. I'm not a professional athlete for any sport that isn't baseball, softball, hockey, tennis, golf, basketball. I can't say it, though, because I'm not thinking about it at all this week. We're playing the Browns Sunday. Oh, I talked about it. Shit. I'm off the team. What the fuck? The Browns beat us 41-16. That wasn't even a game, yo. That was a beatdown of epic proportions. Oh my God, pick six for 99 yards? What? The Bengals had the ball in the beginning of the game for two possessions, and the score was 7-0 Cleveland. And Cleveland hadn't even had the ball yet offensively. Yeah. It was ugly. And the worst part about the whole thing, I'm proud of her, but it's terrible because my wife has been predicting the games accurately 4 weeks now in a row. 4 weeks. I can't remember the first game she predicted, but she said we would win, and we did. And then we were playing the Ravens, and she said, oh, we're going to beat them. It's going to be good. We're going to beat the hell out of them. And I was like, yeah, okay, you clearly don't know football. And she doesn't, honestly. And she was right. We beat the hell out of the Ravens. It was beautiful. It was a work of art. And then the Jets came, and she was like, honey, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't think we're going to win this. And I was like, okay, you got lucky with the Ravens game, but this is the fucking Jets. They couldn't win if they were playing an elementary school team, you know? Yeah, and then what happened? The Jets won. She was like, I told you. So I was a believer for the most part, mostly, like 80% a believer. Yeah, and then Sunday she says, oh, God, the Browns are going to destroy us. It's not even going to be pretty. I think we'll probably only even get 7 points. And I was like, no fucking way. There's no way. It's going to be a good game like it always is between the Bengals and the Browns. And God damn it, she was right again. They destroyed us. Of course, we scored more than 7 points, but up until the end of the game, we had only scored the one touchdown and a field goal, so it was 34-10 at that point. So technically, we only scored the one touchdown, and she was right about that until the very end. It's kind of creepy. 4 games in a row that she has predicted and won. She needs to be playing some kind of fantasy football league for me or something at the office, you know? Pick a square, any square. So what's really messing me up about the Bengals is, and I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to talk this long about the fucking Bengals, but or football in general. But after the Ravens, when we beat the Ravens really bad, I thought, you know what? I'm on the Bengals side now. They're legit. I saw it in the game. I saw the way they played. They didn't play it safe at the end like they normally do. They actually went out to kill them, destroy them, and that's what they did. Maybe they've turned over a new leaf. This is a completely different team now. This isn't the Marvin Lewis era. This is Zach Taylor's era. I don't agree with some of his play calling. I don't think he should be the play caller. A lot of people think that. But, you know, he's made some great choices as far as picks for players, draft picks, trade picks. He's made some good choices. And overall, I think he's a pretty good coach. When we're clicking, we're clicking. But watching the way we lost the Jets game, okay, I'll give them that. They should have trained better. They knew it. They admitted to it. They apologized. But the Browns, that was it. I am totally off the wagon again. I'm off the bandwagon. Same old shit, different season. The Bengals just, they can't get their shit together. They cannot get their shit together. I don't know. So anyway, now that I'm done bitching and ranting about the Bengals, fucking Bengals, man. They're going to have to go to the Super Bowl this year and win for me to get back on the bandwagon. That's it. If they can get to the playoffs and actually win a playoff game, maybe I'll put a foot up on the bandwagon. You know? Maybe I'll just sit down on the bandwagon with my feet dangling over the side so if anything happens, I can easily jump off, save myself. But if they get to the Super Bowl and they win, hell, if they just get, you know what? If they just get to the Super Bowl, I don't care if they win it. If they get to the Super Bowl and they show that they tried in the Super Bowl and that they, you know, competed, they showed that they belong there, even if they lose, I'll still be on the bandwagon. And I would love to be on the bandwagon so much. I would love to believe in my team so much. Unquestionably, undoubtedly, I would love to just swoon over the Bengals instead of constantly shaking my head. There's always next week. There's always next year. So I'm going to take a quick minute here and be right back. That's right, folks. You don't need much of anything to get started on your own podcast. So check it out, anchor.fm. They will hook you up. Yeah, man, I love them. And there's other sites that do it too, like Riverside. And that's the only one that comes to mind right now. But there's other sites, man. There's all kinds of sites that do podcasting for free. They usually have apps that allow you to either use your browser or use their app to record your show. You know, just check out like what they offer as far as little, I guess, bonuses. Like, what can they give you to bring your show to them? I chose Anchor because they didn't have a limit on shows that they will host for you for free. You know, some of these other sites do. They'll host like so many gigs a month or something, or so many listeners a month or whatever. And Anchor is just cool about it. They're like, you know, why limit you? So, you know, check it out if you want to do a podcast. Yeah, man, do your research. Google is your friend. Well, not really. They're trying to take over the world. But I digress. I just found out from a friend of mine earlier, I guess Monday, that November is National Diabetes Awareness Month. And my friend who shared that, she has type 1 diabetes that she got from, she can correct me if I'm wrong. I really don't think I ever got all the details of what happened to her down, but from what I understand, she had a stroke, and I guess it came out of nowhere like they do, but it caused her to have diabetes, which can happen. And, you know, so her life changed completely because of that. And I found out a few years ago that I am diabetic. I have type 2, though, which I think most diabetics are type 2, something like that. But type 1 is just like there's no real rhyme or reason for getting it. Not catching it, but getting it. It just kind of pops up. And, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about diabetes. For instance, not every fat person is diabetic. That's just not true. That, you know, just because you're fat, you have diabetes. That's not true. My former stepdad, he was, I can't remember his weight. He was like 5'11", maybe. I think about 5'11". And he was the weight he should be, which was like I think between 170 and 180, maybe. But he went to the doctor and he had 0% body fat. he wasn't a bodybuilder by any means. He didn't work out, but he worked hard at his job and always had. And he was just fatless. But he had diabetes. He picked up type 2 because he was also an alcoholic. And he drank a lot of beer, a lot of liquor. And, you know, his sugar levels just, his body couldn't handle it. So he became diabetic. Yeah. And that happens to so many. That actually happened to my sister's ex-husband. He was drinking, and I can't remember the liquor now that he was drinking, but it's really sweet. And he drank it all the time. Like, he would go buy a bottle and drink that bottle that night. And he wound up almost dying from diabetes because of that. He almost fell into a diabetic coma, or he did fall into a diabetic coma or some shit, something like that. This was many years ago. I can't really remember, but he's fine now. I think he's got it under control, which is good. My case goes, of course I'm fat. that's not a secret by any means. I take full responsibility for it too. You know, I mean, everybody reacts to depression differently. Mine was to eat, and that was it wasn't just because of the depression. So my mom, I think I talked about this before, she kind of didn't want me to be fat, and she kind of starved me for several years that I lived with her in high school. So then when she kicked me out when I was 18, I went to live with my grandmother, and she loved to cook, and she ate very little. So I was a pothead. And at the time, I was delivering pizzas for this pizza place, making really good money. And I'd come home and smoke a little weed, get the munchies, and there's a fridge full. I had my own fridge, too, and it was always full of stuff. There'd be two or three leftover meals in there from lunches and dinners that my grandmother made all this fucking food. And it was always delicious because she was a hell of a cook. And, man, I'd have the munchies and I'd just fucking pig out, you know? Or she would go to the store and buy me all kinds of groceries, stuff that I liked. Like, I told her that I liked Totino's pizzas with the sausage. She would literally buy the store out of those when they stocked them. And I would have them in my freezer. That sometimes that would be, I'd have an ice cube tray and a freezer full of Totino's sausage pizzas. Yeah, and with those, you know, those things are not healthy at all. For as little as they are, they pack a punch on the calories. And I would go out, you know, I would go outside and smoke a bowl. And then I would go back inside and I would make two of them in the oven and I'd dump a handful of extra shredded cheese on them and I would eat both. I'd smash them, you know, and I'd wash it all down with pop. And that's how I lived, you know, from like 19 until 26, you know. I gained a lot of weight and I ate a lot and I was depressed and I was stoned and I had a ton of food. And that's what started it, you know, and I got hooked on pop. I mean, there, you know, I've heard people say I drink too much pop. Sometimes I can drink a 2 liter in a day. And yeah, that's a lot of pop. I actually just heard if you drink one can of Diet Coke a day, that's too much. So a 2 liter of regular soda, Mountain Dew, Coke, you know, that's terrible. I was drinking 3 2-liters a day, easily. I would go to Kroger, and they would have their Big K 2 liters on sale. Sometimes it's buy two, get one free. Sometimes they're like 59 cents a piece. And I would buy 3 of them, take them home, and that's all I would drink all day. 3 2-liters. Yeah, that's no shit. And I did that for a long time. Oh, long time. And I didn't care. I didn't care that what I looked like, you know. So when it came down to it, I think I was 36, 37, something like that. This would have been about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. Maybe 6 now at this point. Jeez. I was driving for Uber. And I would get started really early in the morning, like 5 a.m. And I would start by going down the street to this gas station that was open. I would go in and I would buy a big-ass bottle of orange juice or apple juice. And I would suck that down in the morning. That was my breakfast every day. Excuse me. Or it would be, you know, I mean, it would be that and like gas station food for breakfast. And then I would go Ubering people and I would follow up the orange juice with a Mountain Dew every day. And it was like a 1 liter Mountain Dew. And, you know, I would get that because I like to drink. And if I was going to be driving around, I wouldn't have to stop continuously to get stuff to drink. I would just have it in the car. It was accessible, you know, never mind that it was a liter of fucking Mountain Dew. And it started getting to the point where, I mean, I was getting to be the biggest I had ever been. And I noticed that when I was sleeping, I would just sleep. I started pissing myself while I was sleeping because that's another sign, sleeping a lot, being tired all the time, sign of diabetes. And you may be tired all the time. That doesn't mean you have diabetes. The tired that I'm talking about, now, normally I get about 6-7 hours of sleep a night if I'm lucky, and that's plenty. If I get 8 or more hours, I'm usually, like, I overdid it, and I'm groggy. And that rarely happens. When I was getting tired from the diabetes and didn't know I had diabetes, I would sleep for days. Days. Like, easily. I'd wake up and use the bathroom, go back to bed. And that would last for 2 days and nights, maybe 3. And then I had to pee all the time, which is another sign. And I was thirsty all the time, which is another sign. I could not drink enough water. And that was what keyed me off. Like, I get that I'm peeing a lot because I'm drinking a lot, but why the hell am I drinking this much? And why am I sleeping so much? You know, so I went to the doctor and had them do a blood blood test, and I went home. So later that night, the nurse called me and at home. It was like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and she said, "You need to go to the ER now." So I went to the ER, and I was there overnight. They found out my blood sugar was 577. And ideally, it shouldn't be above 120. So they were shocked. The doctor asked me, he said, "How did you get here?" And I said, "I drove." He said, "You drove?" I said, "Yeah, and I walked here from down the street where I parked." And he was blown away. He said, "You should be in a coma right now." And that was eye-opening, you know. So it's kind of managed now.
but I need to lose weight, and I know I do, and I'm running out of time. I'm really scared about my future. And for, you know, those of you or those people who say, well, just lose weight, diet and exercise, get off your lazy ass and do it. It's not really that easy, you know. It's easier said than done. And I've done all of that. I've gotten off my ass. I've worked out many times. I've eaten right many times. I quit drinking pop for the most part as I sit here with a Cherry Coke next to me. I don't drink like I used to, for sure. And I'd like to drink none, and I'd like to lose this weight. But get back to my high school weight, of course. But that'll probably not happen. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. Otherwise, I'm guaranteed to live a very short, miserable life. Yeah. So, you know, with these things with diabetes, you know, I've been a fat guy for most of my life. And I may have had a milder case of diabetes before I got those symptoms and went to the doctor. But I never got checked. To my knowledge, I've never been checked. So I do remember once in high school, early high school, I was feeling tired a lot and thirsty. Went to the doctor and had my blood sugar taken, and he said it was like, I can't remember. It seems like it was 68 or 69. And he was like, you're right on the cusp of being diabetic. Just checking my blood sugar, you know? And I'm like, now I look back on it and think, that's a terrible way to tell. But back then I didn't know. So he wanted me to quit drinking pop for an entire month. And I did. And on that, that first day after, I went to, a Blockbuster video after school with my buddy. They had just started selling 20-ounce pops in a little cooler by the register. And I bought a 20-ounce Coke, went outside and guzzled like half of it, and it almost killed me because the carbonation, oh my God. But it tasted so good. Oh man. I still remember that. The taste in it and everything. It was a glorious day. But we found out that it was just, it, you know, I wasn't diabetic then. So, one thing I can't stand, though, is when they say you're always diabetic. Once a diabetic, you're always diabetic. And I just don't agree with that. If you get rid of diabetes and you don't have to take insulin or metformin anymore or glipizide, which I take, you know, and Lyrica, is that the shot I take every day instead of insulin? Yeah. I forgot where I was going with that. Yeah. If you don't have to take that stuff anymore, then why would you still be diabetic? If your blood sugar is in a normal range, then you're not diabetic. I don't understand the reasoning for that. And maybe somebody can tell me. I don't know. You'd have to email onthephonewithmatt@gmail.com and let me know. Because I'm too lazy to Google it. And the whole, you know, just being fat and being, you're automatically diabetic. It's not true. Skinny people can be diabetic, you know. And just because you're a little overweight does not mean you're diabetic. And it also doesn't mean you eat everything, okay? It's like you go out and you see a fat person eating and you're like, yeah, eat it, fatty. Why don't you put the fork down? You know, just because we're fat, we have to eat still. That's how energy works. You need fuel to burn that energy, you know? So just seeing a fat person eat, it's like, yeah, we still have to survive. Now, if you see one of us putting down a whole 20-pound turkey, then you can make your jokes. But until then, you know, hold your comments. Something else. Let's see. Oh, the one, my friend Jordan, she's the one who I think had the stroke and got diabetes from it. But one of the things she posted was a thing that said, see if I get this right. Somebody with diabetes will eat a candy bar and drink a pop and blah, blah, blah. And it's like somebody will say, well, shouldn't you not eat that stuff? And, or, whatever the case was. And the fact is, diabetics can pretty much eat whatever they want. It's just they have to keep track of what they eat so that they can take the right amount of insulin. Ultimately, you do want to stay away from that stuff, but you can be diabetic, high blood sugar or low blood sugar, or both. I think a lot of times it's both. It just depends on what you consume. So, like, if I drop below like 65, 70 maybe, I start getting shaky. And I feel like I'm gonna pass out, or I get lightheaded and cold chill. When it first started happening, it started when I started taking the Lyrica. If I take a full dose of it, like I'm supposed to, and my blood sugar isn't that bad, then my blood sugar will crash, and I'll have to consume something sweet to bring it back up quickly. So that's a soda, pop, cola, coke, whatever you want to call it, or a piece of candy, or ooh, piece of candy. Just something. And one of the first times it happened, I looked at my wife. I said, I got to make something to eat. And I went to the kitchen and started making a sandwich, a lunch meat sandwich. By the time I got done making it, I was shaking so bad I couldn't pick the sandwich up. And that scared the hell out of me. I tried to check my blood to see where my blood sugar was, and I couldn't get any blood to come out of my fingers. So that scared the hell out of me too. And then one day it happened again, so I actually got to check my blood, and it was really low. I mean, it was like 59, 60, and that's pretty low. So, I decided to start adjusting how much Lyrica I take depending on where my blood sugar is. And that's been helping greatly. So, I don't count calories. I eat terrible stuff still, and I need to get away from that. And now that I'm in my own home, and I have a better system here, I guess, than I did at the other place, I should be able to start eating a little better and really taking control of that. So, yeah, diabetes. Oh, also, I heard of this little trick or tip. If you are diabetic or you know somebody who is and they have a problem paying for insulin because insurance agencies and companies are really shitty when it comes to insulin, I don't know why. So, apparently, you can go to Walmart's pharmacy. You do not need a prescription. And you can ask them what their cheapest insulin is. It does not have to be a name brand. Insulin is insulin. Find out. Apparently, somebody said, when I found out, this person said that they found a bottle or a vial for $40. And it lasted them a month, And they didn't have insurance. They didn't have a prescription for it. They just walked right up, asked about it, because you don't need a prescription for insulin. That's what I learned on that post. I don't know how true that is, but I can imagine it's not wrong. I mean, insulin's life-saving. So just check it out and let me know. Get back to me. On the phone with Matt at gmail.com. Let me know. Because if I ever have to do insulin again, that's, you know, if my insurance won't cover it, that's what I'm going to do. Or maybe the next time I'm at Walmart, if I remember to ask, I'll go up and ask. Yeah, we'll see. I'll update you on that later, hopefully, sometime. In the not-so-near future, maybe. So anyway, November, Diabetic Awareness Month, Diabetes Awareness Month. And I really hate the awareness thing. Like, am I going to have a listener hear this and go, diabetes, I ain't never heard of that. Now I'm aware of it. Yeah, everybody's pretty much aware of fucking diabetes at this point, you know. But because I'm talking about it, this technically counts for me making you aware of it. So, there you go. I am now part of the problem. That's going to wrap up another edition of this unholy podcast. Hope you had a good time. As always, thanks for tuning in. And until next time.